It is Saturday, March 1st, 2014. We are broadcasting live from Santa Cruz on the central coast of California. This is KUSP Public Radio 88.9 and KUSP.org. And ladies and gentlemen, it's time now for Geek Speak.
We're through being cool. We're through being cool.
Welcome to Geek Speak, bridging the gaps between geeks and the rest of humanity. Please keep in mind that the views expressed during Geek Speak are not necessarily those of KUSP or any of the geeks affiliated organizations. I'm Bonnie Jean Primsch in the host chair today, and with me in the studio is Lyle Troxell, a maker, photographer, thespian, and software engineer.
Hello, hello.
And Mr. Miles Elam, a software engineer and political junkie.
Good morning.
Guten Morgen, gentlemen. Well, it is a special pledge drive version of the show. This is how we raise money for the station that makes Geek Speak possible. And we do have some help along the way. Miles, you've got a number of people who've been helping the station so far this week.
Yes, people like Michael from Santa Cruz and Marianne from Felton. Thank you so much. And we have many others from Santa Cruz and surrounding areas, you know, thanking us and all programs, loving Dr. Don.
Nice.
Yeah.
It's a good show here at KUSP. Yeah. So we'll be thanking, hopefully, you as we go through the show and you make your offer of support to the station. The phone number, by the way, is 888-777-1507 or KUSP.org if you'd just like to go ahead and take care of business while you listen to the show. And thanks for doing it.
So Tim Cook is the current CEO of Apple. And in a recent shareholder meeting, the NCPR, or the National Center for Public Policy Research, started asking some questions of Tim Cook, saying, "Hey, how much are you spending on like green energy and all this sustainability investment? How much are you doing on that?" Mm-hmm. And what's interesting is that Tim Cook started getting a little angry and frustrated about this. And the whole idea here is, you know, Apple is owned by shareholders, and their profit is based on their business flow. Mm-hmm. And a lot of those things are made very public, and some of those things are held internally. And Apple has a pretty strong stance to be sustainable, to treat workers fairly, and that kind of thing. And
so he was being asked into something that already existed in the conversation at Apple, that these sorts of things are a concern at the company.
The slant of the NCPPR was basically, you're wasting money on this kind of stuff. Stop doing that.
What?
Oh, yeah. No, their argument, it would be, it's a very conservative think tank, and their argument would be that it's wasteful to spend money on things like that.
And are they investors at Apple? Why?
Right, so they're investors in
Apple.
Shareholders.
Oh, I see.
Shareholders.
Okay.
But they're
belief that they're putting pressure on him to do less good?
Oh, yeah.
Well, the idea is saying, like, all of your goal as a company should be to gather profit and increase shareholder value.
Right. That's a company, right?
Well, no, that's more recent notion of how a company should work. That is your primary and really your only concern is how some people.
Right.
Well, as others say, no, there has to be, and this has come up a lot with regard to the tech protests, where there has to be some community interaction. There has to be some give and take with the employees of the company. There has to be something else there, reason for it to be.
Is that why Cook's annoyed?
He doesn't like it. So Cook's response in a few different responses, one of the things he says, first off, the question is return on investment, right?
Okay.
Is the green research or sustainability investment worth it on the return on investment? So that's called an ROI.
Okay.
And so Tim's quote is, when we work on making our devices accessible to the blind, he said, I don't consider the bloody ROI. Because clearly that's not a money-making venture, right?
Yeah.
That's about being correct, about being good, about
being
doing the right thing.
Accessible to all the people.
He kind of closed with, if you don't like the way that we're doing this, you don't need to have this stock.
Okay, so he made a decision.
Yeah, it was pretty nice.
It made me feel good about
a company, a massive company, deciding, no, some things, it's not about the return on investment, it's about doing the right thing. So
we know it's possible at that level of money-making and profiting to do good. Good in mind.
If you're the wealthiest company on the planet, you have the option of saying, yes, no, maybe we don't need a little bit more money.
Other companies take note. Nice. All right. And so what's going on with Mozilla? I saw that there was like a pretty orange smartphone out there for cheap.
Yes. Now, how cheap is the question? cheap as in $25.
What? For a smartphone?
For a smartphone.
This is like a screen
that's
in the whole deal?
That's less than my monthly payment for the use of a cell phone.
Right, and that's not a subsidized price. That's the price of the phone. Now, this isn't going to be, you know, a top of the line. It's not going to be a replacement for, you know, your newest Android or iPhone.
Yeah, but can I keep my shopping list on it?
But at the same time,
that's all you really care about, right?
That's all I care about.
The specs were very impressive. That it was talking about a 3.5-inch screen and a 1 gigahertz processor and 128 megabytes of RAM. And
that's amazing.
That isn't – well, the thing is –
how did they do that?
Well, compared, it was $25. That's really
impressive. Compared to modern phones, that's piddly. That's nothing. At the same time, that is comparable to the original iPhone.
Yeah, that's right.
Which cost $600 when it was first released.
2009, so, right? Wow.
2007.
That's impressive.
So do you think that's going to change everything for everybody?
Well, for people who have phones that you've purchased in the last 3 or 4 years,
it doesn't matter to you.
You have a better phone experience than what this is going to
be. But let me ask you, is this also Firefox OS?
Yes, this is also Firefox OS. So a different operating system. It's not like the others. At the same time, this is, I believe, the big push to go into the developing world.
Okay.
So
this
that
is for the
you
global
have,
market.
Yeah. So you have access because cell phones are much more common in the developing world than it is even in the U.S.
Right.
Like you skip the whole landline, go straight to wireless.
Well, that's right, because they've set it up that way, right? So it's a little easier.
Yeah, if you don't have the wired infrastructure, then just
it doesn't make sense to go wired. Yeah, we are in a weird space in the United States that we have so much wired infrastructure, and other countries as they come along on telecommunications, wireless is definitely the way to go for them.
Well, and now actually, that's like how do we get rid of all these wires? Right, there's the push to ditch the landlines.
Yeah, but I have to admit, I want this $25 phone.
Oh, well, yeah, just, apparently you can
just
afford
cause
it.
Just because you're a nerd.
Well, I'm a nerd, and I want to play with Firefox OS.
Yeah.
And a $25 entrance fee to be able to play around with this
No, it's great.
OS
will they be able to sell it?
Is awesome.
Will they sell it in the U.S. for development?
That's a good question.
Eventually.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually you'd be able to get it from...
When I was talking to the Firefox OS people last year when we did a conference and they came and spoke, one of the things they were saying is the reason we're not launching Firefox OS in the U.S. is because of the power of the telcos, and we just can't get in that market effectively. So they're not even going to play in that field. They're going to define the whole genre of the Firefox OS by going to
well,
the emerging
they
markets.
Will
and then
eventually
then they'll
the
have
US,
the capital to do what they need to do.
Yeah, it's already out and big in Brazil and Indonesia and Thailand.
You know, if you did have a $25 cell phone, you'd have a lot of money left over to give to good causes.
What kind of good causes, Bonnie?
Well, I just want to point out this is a pledge drive version of Geek Speak here on 88.9 KUSP. And we're going to talk about other things during the program, things going on, like what's going on with the cryptocurrency right now. But also, it's day 4 of the station's pledge drive. So we want to talk about how public radio stations like KUSP raise money and keep the station going, Lyle.
I feel it.
Yeah.
When you made...
oh, should we do that now?
Well, yeah, let's do that right now.
Okay.
So when you made your first cell phone call or opened a web page from an email all those years ago, could any of you have imagined how many media choices you would have by 2014? Right now, regardless of whether you are on the planet, where you are on the planet, it's possible to read, watch, listen to almost anything at any time. This brave new world has given KUSP opportunities to deepen and diversify its local news coverage and to broaden its cultural offerings. Our goal during this campaign is to make sure KUSP can continue to improve this service to you, regardless of whether you listen over the air or online.
But, you know, with these new opportunities come new expenses, Miles. So those of you who are listening, your donation now will ensure that KUSP can deliver what you need, regardless of when or where you listen. In just a moment, we'll give you the number to call. But what I wanted to point out is that we have a matching grant right now from Jennifer DeToy. For every dollar you contribute to KUSP right now, Jennifer will also add a dollar, meaning twice as much for KUSP.
This even works if you give a little bit every month. So consider how much is comfortable for your budget. Is it $80? Is it $10 a month? And know that when you contribute that now, it will become twice as much for KUSP, thanks to Jennifer DeToy. You can offer that at our website. Just go to KUSP.org and click on the big red half circle that says,
Donate.
Or here's that number. Bonnie,
Yeah, it's 888-777-1507. That's 888-777-1507. That's the number to call to support the station GeekSpeak needs to be able to bring you this show. And KUSP.org is a great way to do it whenever you're listening to this show.
And KUSP has been on the air for over 40 years. And during that time, we've expanded our broadcast reach to cover the Central Coast region of California. KUSP.org has been online since the web was young and now has tens of thousands of visitors from around the world.
Yeah, it is. And because that's going on, we've been able to continue this tradition of bringing you high-quality news coverage and signature local cultural events like the Cabrillo Festival of Contemporary Music, the Monterey Jazz Festival, the Carmel Bach Festival. Guys, this campaign is your opportunity to ensure that KUSP will continue to be an important part of your life in the coming months and years. So we really hope that you'll make your gift now.
It's a membership campaign for the most part of the station. The more it can thrive, the more we can thrive. And the purpose is to build a strong foundation as many contributors as possible. And your part is simple. It involves calling a phone number. I'll give it in a moment. With an amount you'd like to contribute. Do you find this to be an appealing source of good stuff for your ears and brain? Well, then now is your chance to let us know. Now's the time to make the gift. $80 or $120, whatever amount you choose. Offering your gift takes just a couple minutes at KUSP.org or call us 888-777-1507.
So what was it? The first public radio pledge drive was aired. We're not sure of the exact date.
Mid-40s and 50s.
Somewhere in there, yeah. And the first complaint about public radio pledge drives probably happened a short time after that.
Of course they did, right.
Okay, I mean, we get it. And for decades, public radio fundraising professionals have searched for better and more efficient ways to raise money. But this is kind of what we
After years of experimentation, we found that the pledge drive remains unrivaled in efficiently attracting first-time donors and reminding long-time members to re-up their commitment. We are as eager as you to return to the usual program schedule. Your contribution now will take us one step closer to that goal.
So, guys, the purpose of this campaign is to make sure that KUSP's income stays ahead of expenses. Pledge drives are the way we've found to do that. And so we are encouraging you now to make a contribution of 80, as Miles mentioned. Maybe you want to do 120. We've had lots of people giving it $10 a month this morning. That ensures KUSP remains on the sound financial footing that allows us to deliver the programs you expect. So think of this campaign as an election and this moment as your opportunity to cast a vote in support of this uniquely worthwhile radio station. And remember, if you want to give monthly, you could consider giving sustainably. Just have it sort of go on and on instead of having to remember next pledge drive. Is it time for me to re-up? That is one way that we can make pledge drives more efficient. I am looking forward to a future where these things are shorter and it's simply a matter of reminding new members to make their contribution. So call us now, won't you please, at 888-777-1507. Go to KUSP.org. Let Jennifer DeToy double what you contribute right now. All right. So there it is. Some encouragement to keep with us here at GeekSpeak. What's going on with wireless gear? Wearable stuff?
Yeah. Miles? So I want to recommend something to people. For years, last week, Miles and I were chatting about wireless access points and that we run our own wireless access points at our home. We actually update the firmware, and it's actually a kind of a complicated process to do that. But we've done that for years. We're geeks.
And when he says kind of, it's really tedious.
It's not something we recommend. In fact, so much so that when I was looking to fix my network at home, I realized I didn't want to go through that process again. I want to just get gear that works, and I don't have to think about it and worry about it. And I live on a pretty big property where people visit and stuff, so I wanted something pretty good. For years, I've heard about Ubiquiti, this company Ubiquiti Systems. They're a commercial company that makes wireless access points.
I know Ubiquiti as a producer of very funky music.
Ah, different group.
But different group. Okay.
Probably.
All right.
So I actually purchased Ubiquiti wireless access points recently from Amazon, I think. And yesterday installed them in my home. They're amazingly easy to manage. It was a great experience. They're a little technical in the sense that you have to know a bit about what you're doing. But the ease of use and then the software that came with them, I thought, if you're looking for kind of a higher-end wireless access point at your home or some small business, definitely take a look at Ubiquiti. This is not an ad. We're not endorsing at the station. or anything like that. I just had a good experience with it. And normally when I have a good experience with tech, I mention it. So.
Okay. Well, there it is. A good experience is possible with some wireless gear. And, okay, so here, guys, this is the story of the week as far as I'm concerned. I'm a little confused
about
what's going on.
Yeah, several emails about this. Yeah.
With Bitcoin. And people are writing us and saying, are you going to talk about the Bitcoin? Tell us about the Bitcoin. So what? There was an exchange for Bitcoin that went down and then havoc happened.
Mount Gox, yeah.
Yes.
So what happened?
Mount Gox,
exactly?
Standing for Magic the Gathering Online Exchange.
No, I didn't know that. Yes. That's great.
Yes, that's... That's why it was able to come up so quickly after Bitcoin came out, because they were already doing exchanges for how to trade Magic the Gathering cards.
Oh, so they already had that middle group. Oh, okay, gotcha.
Right.
That is hilarious.
but right. It is no more. It is an ex Mount Gox.
Sorry, Magic the Gathering fans.
Yes. this is not the same as saying it's the end of Bitcoin.
What happened to it? Like, why did it go down?
So there was a vulnerability in how they were managing the Bitcoins, and so there were a series of thefts.
Oh.
And by a series of thefts, I mean,
ouch,
700,000 Bitcoins.
That's a lot of money.
Something like that. Bitcoin is worth kajing.
Well, right now it's about $400, I think.
That's still money.
Yeah, it used to be $1,200.
Okay, because I thought...
Or went up.
The funny thing is, I used to check Mount Gox for the price. So
now you don't really know.
My bookmark doesn't
work. That was a warning sign, was that Mount Gox was consistently 20% higher prices than every other exchange. And that's something very important to note, is that Mount Gox was an exchange, similar to what you would think of as NASDAQ or the Nikkei or the London Stock Exchange.
All right.
And so if you think of the NASDAQ comparison, NASDAQ trades in dollars. You check the price of different goods in U.S. dollars. So the U.S. dollars is like Bitcoin. But just because if NASDAQ went away, if NASDAQ crashed or had some problem...
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that dollars go away.
Right.
It means that the stocks that are managed within the NASDAQ exchange would be unavailable for a time.
So what I understood about the security problem was that they were out – because of the way they were checking stuff, there was a way to kind of insert a falsity and say, I need a refund, and they would try to give you the refund. So it's like a failure of their system, and then they would give refunds.
Yes.
So people took advantage of that. And this is comparable to going to a bank and making a faulty withdrawal, right? And just having the tellers go, oh, yeah, okay, it's Tuesday at 2. Oh, well, the policy states that I can give you money right now. And they just, like, that's the kind of thing they were doing.
Right.
It was a mistake. It was a very technical mistake, but it was catastrophic in that they lost way too much money in
this
mistake.
Yeah, and when we talk about way too much money, we're on the order of they... can't account for $500 million.
Well, that seems like a chunk.
Yeah.
But was it ever real money? Like, were people actually using it as money, or was it just sort of like imaginary?
No, I mean, that's the thing about Mt. Gox. It was taking if you had Bitcoin, you could go there and get cash out.
Yeah.
If you had cash, you go in there and buy Bitcoin.
Right.
So they had lots of money flowing through.
Okay.
Yeah,
so there was real money.
Yeah. Now, there are other exchanges, and so far I haven't heard of any of them having
this kind of
problems.
Problem.
Yeah.
And this isn't a problem in the fundamental structure, mathematical structure of Bitcoins. This is a part of their implementation.
Okay. All right. You're listening to Geek Speak on KUSP. More information, by the way, about everything we're talking about today is at geekspeak.org, or will be after the show. I'm Bonnie Primsch, your host, and with me in the air room are Miles Elam and Lyle Troxell. And a quick update, we are in a pledge drive show. We have a matching gift from Jennifer DeToy, who's matching everything you want to contribute right now to KUSP, up to a total of $1,000. And so far, we have raised $340. So there is still lots of room for you, and that will help us with our goal of making about $1,500 or so during the show. We'd love to do that. So if you would like to continue the effort there, make your contribution to KUSP, you can do so at kusp.org. Just go to the big donate button or at the phone number 888-777-1507. Several lovely ladies and gentlemen are waiting to take your call. So what else is happening in the world of geek news? I always wondered about mobile phone use on the roads. It seems kind of dicey. I will admit I was checking a voicemail on my way to the station today, and I should not have done it.
Yeah, we cover this story a lot because I remember years ago we got a call from someone who was driving, and they called into the show. And during that, we kind of laughed it off. This was with naivete. And then later, I got an email in saying someone, a friend of mine, you know, passed away because of an accident, because of that kind of thing. So don't joke about that. So from ever,
too serious.
Pull over when you talk, right?
Yeah, please.
And I've taken it pretty seriously on the show. But there's a law about mobile use, right? Mm-hmm. There's quite a bit of California law about this. And recently, somebody kind of beat the law in an interesting way. It turns out that the California law about phone use is in twofold. It's about communication via text.
Yeah.
That's one. That's the texting while driving thing you're not supposed to do. And the other one's about using a phone, holding a phone to talk.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So this person was actually using their phone for looking up a map and through GPS. So here's the quote. The person shall not drive a motor vehicle while using a wireless telephone unless that telephone is specifically designed and configured to allow hands-free listening and talking and is used in that manner while driving. So that's the letter of the law.
Yeah.
And the court basically said allows using a wireless telephone while driving if the telephone is specifically designed and configured to allow hands-free listening and talking. Otherwise, they should have specified that it was only about voice or not.
Right. Sorry. The letter of the law dictates like a phone in the context of a conversation.
Yes.
If you're not having a conversation –
right.
And he wasn't of any kind. He wasn't texting. He wasn't speaking to someone else by voice or other means. So
what was he doing?
He was looking at a map.
Yeah, he was looking up map directions because he was seeing a whole bunch of traffic and going, oh, how do I route around this? What routes do I have to go?
Technically, he wasn't doing the things that were listed.
Yeah, the court pointed out that because it wasn't a phone conversation, that whole block about holding it hands-free or not has no relevance because that's about having a conversation.
Right.
So therefore, that has nothing. So he was able to walk away from the law. And he wasn't texting because he was actually getting GPS and map data. He wasn't actually communicating. He was reading.
Right.
So nothing in the law actually states that, so he walked away.
Yeah, and if you outlawed that, then you also have to outlaw a Garmin. Because that is also a
Garmin?
GPS system.
Mapping system.
Or just a plain map. Ever had like a map you had while you were driving and you were using it while you were driving? That is comparable.
I know how much my attention on the road falters when I'm paying attention to a map.
And I almost thought, you know, we get calls around this while, like, you talked about a security problem. Now we're going to take exploits of that. Yeah. I don't want to publish the idea that it's okay to drive while texting or do anything else, right?
Yeah.
That's the point to me, is that I almost didn't cover the story because don't do this.
Yeah.
Don't use it as a map. Don't touch anything or distract yourself.
For the same reasons that you don't want to have a big paper map, like the iconic thing of you or unroll
book,
the map and you're like turning it around while you're...
It's like just catching up on your fiction.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's crucial to think of your brain activity and what you're focusing on. If you're focusing on anything besides driving, it's very dangerous. Don't do it.
Don't do it.
So,
And all neuro research says that, yes, you think you can multitask very well, but
you're wrong.
The neuroscience says no.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you're about to give your contribution to KUSP, pull over. And guys, let's talk about that a little bit, because I'm anxious to see if we can finish up this match from Jennifer DeToy, how quickly that nice lady can have her contribution to KUSP doubled by other people tuning in. This is Geek Speak on 88.9 KUSP. I'm your host, Bonnie Jean Primsch, and in the studio with me is Lyle Troxell and Miles Elam. Ladies and gentlemen, we are volunteering our time to bring you this program. That's true of many shows at KUSP, and it's also brought to you by listeners who put something into the hat, and that's what we're encouraging you to do now.
You know, Jennifer DeToy is offering an extra incentive for you to be a supporter and to support listening to KUSP. For every dollar you contribute right now, Jennifer will also give a dollar, right? So you have some help paying for the programming that you rely on and that you love.
And so one thing you can do is, if you are driving in this wet weather, first pull over.
Pull over.
Take a moment, because chances are you're have some place important to go, but you're not in a hurry where it matters for 5 minutes.
Right.
So pull off on that off ramp, pull off onto the side of the road, stop, and just pick up that phone, pick up that Android tablet, pick up that whatever you might happen to have.
Yeah.
For example, Firefox device.
Yes, and do something like this. Like, have a little fun with your tech. Hold on to the button and have Siri come up. Donate to KUSP. And then, you know, the little thing will come up and says, oh, hey, look, the first results that come back are welcome to KOSP Secure Pledge page.
Oh, how nice.
Yes. Convenient.
Or car donation.
There we go. So take care of it in a responsible fashion if you're in the car, and have your phone do the work.
And you simply think about the amount of money that this station matters to you, a little bit from your that you can afford, and you give a call in and you make that the pledge amount. And right. As Miles said, you can have your tech do it with you. It takes about 2 to 3 minutes on the phone.
Yeah.
It takes a little bit less online. It is extremely easy to do this. And you can do it right now.
Yeah, you'll be joined by people like Ken in Salinas, or Marge in Santa Cruz, or Karen in Aptos, or Ken in Ben Lomond, who loves Geek Speak and all the music shows. And all those folks made their contribution during this show and had their gift doubled by Jennifer DeToy. She will do that for you, too. So far, $485 of that matching gift is gone out of a total of $1,000. So there's a little bit of room left. People are snatching it up, and I would take advantage of that offer to have your dollar stretch even further, because you know we can stretch it too here at KUSP.
KUSP's, 100-plus volunteers are the heart and soul of the station, both on the air and behind the scenes. They ensure that KUSP reflects the diversity of the communities we serve and that the station stays true to its public service mission. Unfortunately, there are stations in our region that do nothing more than relay programs from distant cities.
And KUSP takes a different path. Yeah. Thanks to our volunteers, we're able to balance our schedule of acquired shows with programs that connect you to important local news stories and your region's vibrant cultural scene. Please make your donation now in support of this distinctive, community-based, locally focused style of public radio that puts your interests first.
We make the airwaves available for everyone, and we're very proud of that, even though we know not everyone will contribute money to the station. But you can. Your budget has a little room in it, and you already know that giving to KUSP is a good idea. There are 3 lines open right now in our Pledge Drive counseling headquarters. So just pick an amount you'd like to give. Like, how about $20 a month? It would be $240 for the station, and it would actually become $480 because of Jennifer DeToy. So consider $20 a month, and then give it by calling 888-777-1507 or give online at KUSP.org. And know that when you do, you're helping us out and your fellow listeners, too. We really appreciate it. Thanks.
Yeah, $20 a month. You know, 4 cups of coffee at Starbucks.
Yeah, that's easily done.
If you've been lucky enough to spend any time riding the rails in Europe, sooner or later you'll find yourself part of a captive audience to a musician who moves from train car to train car. Whether you like the performance or not, when the hat gets passed, everyone watches to see whether you donate. Mm-hmm.
Well, when it comes to making a gift to KUSP, no one's watching. Here, we operate on the honor system, and we trust you'll make a contribution that will pay for the listening you've done since our last drive in October.
In the past couple years, hundreds and hundreds of contributors have supported KUSP for the very first time. That's very encouraging. We like that when that happens. And we're hoping that if you have not given to the station before, that's something you would consider also. Between now and the end of the campaign, we ask that you join the community of KUSP contributing listeners by supporting the programs you rely on every day and that, frankly, they've been sporting for you up until this point. So now's the time to make your donation. What about $20 a month? What about $360? Is that something you can afford? Boy, that would really help us out. Whatever amount you choose, it's up to you, really. But do make that decision and give us a call or go to KUSP.org. And once again, that number is 888-777-1507. And thank you so much. Boy, we really appreciate it. It's nice to hear from people in support of this program. Oh, Miles, I haven't been creeped out in a minute. Let's talk about the NSA.
Oh, good. I was hoping we'd do that today.
Well, what's going on?
There are a couple things
even
that are going
more
on.
Hideousness.
Yeah, I'm also talking about GHCQ, which is the version of the NSA across the pond.
Ah, the British.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so GCHQ specifically has been intercepting webcam images of Yahoo users.
What?
Ew.
So they've
Why?
Been getting into...
Wait, let's think about when a Yahoo user is using their camera.
The Yahoo chat.
So there's like a chat that has
it's
video.
It's like flirty stuff, right? That's what people do in video chat.
I don't know. It's like Hangouts or FaceTime. You know, it's like kind of or Skype.
Okay.
Yahoo has a service like this
okay.
too.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Ooh.
And so what they were doing was scraping all of this webcam data, putting it through a facial recognition algorithm.
No.
This is
so
especially
they could find
creepy.
Specific
really?
Targets. Yeah. So.
So hey, terrorists, don't use this video chat.
Well, you know, and the thing is, technology opens up the possibility for so many aspects of surveillance that were not available before, like this.
It's an exciting time in surveillance.
There's been stuff we found out that from the Snowden archive, that the NSA and GCHQ have been employing people, some shills, to go onto web discussion forums.
What?
To mess up the discussion. You know, basically professional trolls.
Why?
Why? Why does that serve them?
How can that possibly serve
them?
They're
just hoping to derail a terrorism conversation? Yeah. Oh, never mind.
No,
let's talk about
something else.
Well, they want to manipulate the online discourse. And
I hate the West. You hate your mother. No, I don't.
Well, no. But I mean, much more subtly, to disrupt it so that it's harder to get activists to...
Oh, I see. Just have it be an annoying
to generate the outcome that they want that furthers their goals.
Wow,
interesting.
And
makes sense. I mean, if you think of successful like software movements, but I'm kind of involved in, normally the reason they're successful is a really effective community, a very good communication.
Absolutely dependent upon.
And so, you know, Ruby on Rails wouldn't be like that. Node wouldn't be like that without the communities around those software platforms because they're healthy and vibrant communities. So I could see if you put nasty people in the middle of that and kind of made it not work.
I read stories like this.
The government spending money wisely.
Right. I read stories like this, and I think about the other stories that have been out there saying whether or not Snowden was responsible in his release and whether Glenn Greenwald was responsible with his interaction, The Guardian, with Snowden. Uh-huh. And I hear about stuff like this and go, wait a second. This... In part of me thinks, I felt like this happened anyway. But having the proof of it, having the actual records to say that this is happening, to have that notion to say, yes, now I have something specific, not just tinfoil hat rumors.
Okay. You know, in another store we're going to cover in a little bit, the Apple store, we'll cover it a little later in the show. One of the things I looked into is how much money does NSA actually spend on this kind of work, meaning work that is about taking advantage of systems, right? In fact, they spend $250 million a year, NSA, on...
How do we know that?
Trying to... Because it's a public record.
Oh, okay.
To subterfuge security systems, right? To get into security systems, to break them, to access them. Huh. And not I'm talking about getting people's data. I'm talking about breaking the systems that allow security protection to happen. Yeah. We'll talk about that later. But since you talked about Yahoo and NSA and such, one of the stories I ran into is that another vulnerability in Yahoo. Yahoo, like, traditionally has these horrible security vulnerabilities. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
This one is, it's easy to delete any comments or questions from the Yahoo Answers site. Basically, just you have to just post a delete command. There's no security, no protection.
Like anyone, even the person who wrote it.
No. Anyone can delete anybody's comments or posts, or you couldn't a few days ago.
And to some extent, I can understand that because when Yahoo Answers was coming out, there were other answers pages that were further along. So many companies will skimp on the overriding security aspect just so they can get more people to contribute, just to reduce the. What we call friction of getting that content out there.
Yeah.
You know, Abraham Raffis was the Egyptian cybersecurity analyst that actually found and posted about this vulnerability. And really, it's as simple as, please delete this comment. That's what it is. It just gets deleted. I love it.
So that just becomes like, I don't like what you said, so delete.
Potentially. I mean, the thing is, you could script it and you could delete 150 million entries or whatever it is.
Oh, my gosh.
So it's not exactly the best thing in the world.
Or you could have your site delete items from a... anchor tag from a standard A-click, and then when you have web crawlers go across it, it just completely deletes your site.
So 365,000 posts are vulnerable and over 1 million comments on the Yahoo database attack. Now, he did notify Yahoo first. It's possible they put some kind of measures in. I'm hoping that one of the things they did right away is made a backup. If it does get deleted, they can revert.
Oh, my gosh. So, all right. So we've got the GCHQ kind of scraping images from Yahoo chats. We've got anyone being able to delete any comments and stuff. I can imagine why they'd want to, like, delete anything that might encourage gathering on controversial topics that might lead to attack on the West or whatever.
Take advantage of that, definitely.
Oh my gosh! You know what I want to do is take a quick break here, and then when we come back, we'll talk some more about creepy goings on in the world of tech.
Sounds good.
This is Geek Speak on KUSP.
Hi, it's us, Click and Clack, the Tappert Brothers.
When we diagnose car problems, we like to approach things methodically.
We'll go with the brakes first,
differential second,
and Martians third. Our process is both mechanical and anthropological.
The car that you drive is not something that appeals to a guy.
Oh, I can keep my old 95 Jeep and get a man?
No, that's not going to work.
Okay, see?
Join us for Car Talk.
Coming up at 11 this morning on 88.9 KUSP and KUSP.org.
So in a minute here on Geek Speak, we're going to talk about Apple security and NSA's responsibility on what's going on there. But first, we want to talk about raising some money for KUSP. We've already raised some money for KUSP. It's been a very successful morning so far. We had a matching gift from Jennifer Tatoy. That matching gift has been met, and we thank you so much from all kinds of people.
Thank you so much to Peter from Morgan Hill, Donna from Del Monte Forest, Greg from... Victoria, British Columbia. Sweet. Wow. Paul from Felton.
From British Columbia.
So many other people. Judith from Santa Cruz. Thank you so much.
Scads of people helping raise that money. But ladies and gentlemen, it ain't over. We can't rest on our laurels.
That's right.
You know what really help is another matching gift. If you're a person who can give $500 or more to the station right now, we can use that right now as a matching grant to encourage other people to continue making their contributions because we got some big mo to raise. Just in this break, we'd love to raise $330. That could be three people giving at $10 a month. That would take you.
That would do it.
If you're in a position to be able to do that, why don't we hear from you right now? We've got a website you can go to. It's KUSP.org. We've got a phone number you can call.
It's 1-888-777-1507.
And we would love for you to make that call or...
Yes, you did.
Oh, my gosh. I just got handed something from my producer.
It's amazing.
Jim and Judy Warner are now offering a matching gift to KUSP up to a total of $1,000 more, you guys.
This is great. Jim and Judy have been long-term listeners and supporters and friends of mine, and they're wonderful and severe geek right there. Geek
severe
cred.
Geek.
Jim is a
UCSD professor, yes.
Well, actually, network engineer extraordinaire.
We know things about you, Jim Warner. we don't need no NSA.
But Jim and Judy, thank you so much for doing the matching grant. And of course, we know how the matching grant works. This means that as you donate now to the station, Jim and Judy will match your grant dollar for dollar, doubling your impact on how we can produce content here for you on
KUSP. So good. Let's see if we can get this whole $1,000 in before the end of the show. It'd be so sweet.
That sounds good.
You know, if you're like me, you go through the whole, oh yeah, I got to give conversation every time Pledge Drive comes around. So when KUSP started suggesting going for the sustainable membership, you know, where you give manageable increments every month just out of the credit card, and then you never have to remember to re-up, I went, oh, I am doing that. I jumped on that. So if you'd like to join me, just choose a contribution that's right for your situation, $10, $15, $20 a month. I do $20. Then call now at 7888-777-1507, or you could choose the monthly option at our website, KUSP.org.
You know, since 1972, KUSP has worked to be a focal point in the region's cultural life.
Yeah.
That's what we started with. That's what we've always been. Mm-hmm. And as our culture has become more homogenized, the need has never been greater for the radio voice that encourages listeners to engage with civil life and the arts in the area they're in.
And people like Judy from Carmel understand that KUSP brings something special into your life, and we're honored that you chose us as a companion. During this campaign, we seek your partnership in the form of a donation that will assure that KUSP can continue to connect you to the news, the ideas, the music, the tech that you care about.
Right? Now, listen, truly, we're honored by any contribution you're willing to make. What matters to us is knowing that you're there, listening, and also helping us in a material way. And we're serious about not requiring a specific amount from anybody. We know that when everyone who can do something does do something and led up to what our budget needs.
Yeah.
What we're paying keen attention to, though, is when will you do your bit for KUSP? I mean, the suspense. When are you going to call? Just pick an amount and weigh in. We've got a benefactor fan of KUSP waiting to kick in as much as you do. Jim and Judy Warner want to help. And everything is possible when you make that call. 888-777-1507 or give at KUSP.org. We can't wait to thank you.
You know, you might find that you're listening more and more on mobile devices or on your computer or on your internet radio, right? Years ago, we understood that KUSP had to be wherever you wanted us.
Yep.
So we've made the investments to expand and improve KUSP.org.
But that's a relatively new way of reaching you. And that comes with additional costs for us.
Yeah.
It takes people, it takes bandwidth, equipment to keep the website running smoothly.
Well, and as the technology keeps updating, so must the website that we remain relevant.
Absolutely. Yes, by making a contribution to KUSP now, you'll be helping to meet our costs for serving you online.
We're talking about two-minute philanthropy here.
Yeah.
Less if you already know how much you'd like to give. Like, if you already made that decision, give us a call. You got $80, you got $360, that's just $30 a month if you want to put in over the year, right?
Yeah.
We good? Call us, donate. It's simple. It's easy. Really nice people have come down to take your call, and the website is practically, well, particularly good right now. It's running smoothly, right, Miles?
Yeah.
Yes.
And you're ready. We're ready. Give us a call, 888-777-1507. And, of course, the web address is kusp.org for organization. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Come on in. So, Steve in SoCal, you'll be joining folks like him, like Keith in Santa Cruz, who just says, geeks! And we also heard from somebody in Freedom who likes news and classical music and thought, you know what? I'm just going to send in a check today. I'm just going to do that right now. So thank you to all those folks. We'd love to thank you next.
Yeah. And just remember what public radio means.
Yeah.
Let's start with what it does not mean.
Okay.
It does not mean government-funded radio. It doesn't mean free
case.
Radio.
Yeah.
Public radio means listener-supported radio. And I do have to say that with commercial radio, you're the product. The advertisers are the customers. Here, with public radio, you are the ones that we are beholden to.
In fact, your support, listener support, is the single largest source of KOSP operating funds. More than business contributions, more than foundational grants, much more than governmental resources. Your dollar is what funds us.
Yeah. So if you've given already during one of our campaigns over the past 12 months, first of all, thank you.
Yes.
Know that KOSP exists on a pay-as-we-go basis. So if you find your listening has increased in the past few weeks or months, you know, you could consider making an additional contribution.
Yes.
To help pay for the additional programs you've enjoyed. And know that when you do, Jim and Judy Warner are here to double that contribution, so it'll go all the further. Listen, whether you've donated many times in the past or you're ready to make your first gift right now, and let me tell you what a special person you are for hearing for the first time right now, please know that your contribution will ensure that KUSP has the resources it needs to offer the programs you care about. Would you make your contribution now? Can you do that? Go to kusp.org or call us at 888-777-1507. Now, I want to talk about this Apple security problem.
Yes.
What's going on with GoToFail? What is
that? Okay. It's you know, it's a
meme. And I have different ideas.
Yeah,
about it. So
yeah.
Go ahead.
Let's
go.
Do a foundation. First off,
okay.
What a great term, GoToFail. That actually comes from the code itself that had the bug. Okay.
Really?
So first, yeah. So what a great meme. It's a simple thing to remember. And the gotofail.com has a great write-up and can test your browser and all that. So if you're kind of curious.
Is it like a testing software?
Kind of. But what's happened is this. A few days ago, Apple released an update to their mobile operating system, iOS. Mm-hmm. They did a patch. They didn't do a lot of talk about what it was, but they said security problems and improvements. As the story came out, it became clear that there is actually a major flaw in the way the baseline security of the web browsing system works on mobile devices and on Macintosh OS X. And this problem emerged because of an error in code. And basically it meant, you know, Bonnie, we always talk about on the GeekSpeak about you communicate with a website through SSL, through the HTTPS.
Okay.
When your bank website says it's secure and safe, there's a lock.
You want to see that S.
Yes,
that's
very important.
That's S for secure.
Yeah.
The padlock.
That
yeah.
basically means that I'm trying to reach, you know, the site. Okay, like KOSP.org. We have a secure connection because we need to do transactions sometimes. So you go to KOSP.org and it says secure. It means that you know you're talking to our service because we are the ones that have the authentication mechanism.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, because of this bug in Apple software, they never actually checked to see if the name was right. So you go to kusp.org, mm-hmm. the browser says goes that way.
Yeah.
Miles in the middle controlling the network instead gives you a different certificate that has nothing to do with kusp.org at all.
Now and
all of a sudden,
people who are trying to give
well, luckily it's
securely.
A fix, so it's not a problem.
Okay, good.
Hey, there's a fix already.
Okay.
So this is called a man in the middle attack, and this vulnerability was happened because of man in the middle. The thing that's interesting is that the actual code that was an error was a very simple problem. And basically, in this error checking routine, there's this section of the code that checks to see a whole bunch of different things.
Right.
And it does conditional statements. In programming language, conditional statement is, if this, then do this. Right?
Okay.
So it's a very simple way of deciding flow of the application.
Mm-hmm.
So if this name is correct, then, or if this name is not correct, then go to fail. That was the command that would happen.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked fine, except that one of those go to fail commands was duplicated, and it had happened twice. And the way the programming language they're using works is that if statement only applied to the first one, and not the second one.
Yeah, in other words, they were using C and they didn't use braces around the if statement.
For all those
common and unfortunately common.
Yes. So some of these languages are pretty forgiving. JavaScript and C have the same concept that if you don't have to put your code inside blocks, you can infer that the next line is the only part of the block.
Right.
But it's hard to catch as a human that's happening. And in this situation, that line was duplicated errantly. Yeah. And that second go to fail always happened. It wasn't conditional. It always did that. But the thing that was interesting is that the routine that was actually the fail routine checked to see the status flag of the last encounter. And if the status flag was okay, yeah, this is good, which that last if statement didn't actually fail. It was okay. Everything's fine. Then that fail code just skipped. And therefore, the entire thing always was okay. It never failed, meaning that that man in the middle thing was never checked for. Okay? A very simple programming error, okay, compiled down to this application that's been running for a long time
It was introduced in iOS 6. It wasn't in older versions of it, and it was introduced under the Mountain.
When this bug,
let's get to the so what.
The timing's interesting because of this.
Yeah.
When this bug was released, a few months later, the Snowden reports that he threw out into the wild,
right,
stated that the NSA was saying Apple has joined this program.
Now, oh, that's right. And they're what? No, we didn't.
This happened a few months after this vulnerability emerged in their system.
Okay.
Now, this vulnerability is very cleverly done. It looks like a mistake. It perfectly circumvents the security step in a certain way. And it wasn't caught for years. I mean, how many years are we talking about?
Was it years? I thought it was...
Well,
I'll look that up, but you tell it.
The dates,
Miles,
don't matter so much. The question is,
did the NSA pay some employee at Apple to insert this backdoor? Because it effectively does operate as a security breach, right,
that you can target.
Do they? I think it wasn't Apple doing it. I think if it's anybody, it was one programmer. Uh-huh. And I think that the commit logs, this will actually tell. But it also says that Apple's not doing good testing, and that concerns me quite a bit.
Oh, okay. And where are you on this
testing? There was, yes, testing is an issue. At the same time, SSL libraries tend to be very hard to deal with. This is at a base level. It requires a tremendous amount of technical skill, and mistakes do happen in this infrastructure. It's unfortunate. Hmm. I'm really reluctant to say that it's malice. And at the same time, people were saying, oh, my God, there's this vulnerability, and it's taking Apple forever to fix it.
Oh, so they thought there was something in the lag time there in the fix?
Yeah, and I don't buy that, because you have this error that is for verification of who you're talking to.
Yeah.
I actually think it's reasonable that Apple would have some folks sit down and go, wait a second. So how do we have people verify that they're getting a correct patch from us as opposed to from someone else? Because this affects all of their systems.
That's an interesting idea, because the actual system that allows for the updates remotely from Apple Store and stuff uses this. This would be vulnerable to this man-in-the-middle attack.
Mm-hmm. And so that requires some thought. And I would have loved that the bug didn't exist. I would have loved that they fixed it faster. But I can understand how they would want to take some time to vet it and think about the problem before they rolled it out, because it has a very high potential for something bad.
One other thing, I won't also state that definitely was NSA paid for it or whatever, but I would say that one of the things that Apple did is they moved away from an open security package called OpenSSL, which was open source, and they moved to their own proprietary, and that's part of the reason why this wasn't caught, in my opinion.
Oh, so that's another one for open source, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. Definitely.
We'll
Which is also
more...
why you should use other browsers instead of Safari, because those are using more common things like OpenSSL and things that are vetted.
Okay, yeah, keep it healthy and strong. So it sounds like what you're saying is that when many people participate in something, it's able to be stronger. Am I picking that up?
I'll go with that.
Okay, yes. Because that's kind of like how we operate here at KUSP.
Yes.
A public radio station. A lot of people offering a little bit of support, and then we're not vulnerable when any one supporter moves away or otherwise removes their funding in some way. So that's why it's been such a reliable model for us for so long. And I'm talking about it now, of course, because we're in this pledge drive time. It's a time when KUSP raises the money they need for the next period of time in order to stay fiscally fit so that they can continue to bring you programs like Geek Speak.
Yeah.
That's what we're talking about right now.
You may be thinking to yourself that KUSP seems to be getting along fine. without your pledge.
Well, that's, I mean, we are here cheerily on the air.
That's true.
Nobody's like sad and mopey.
That's apparently a risky we're doing all right. Assumption. Like, most people are happy when they can pay the rent.
Yeah.
But if we come up with a shortfall, we're going to be short on the rent. Although the Great Recession is mostly behind us, its effects linger.
That's true.
Past sources of philanthropic and business funding have not returned, and we've increasingly looked to gifts from individual users like you to make up the difference. So if you care about public radio, if you care about KUSP, we urge you to not sit this one out. Your pledge now will secure a bright future for KUSP.
Well, and can I talk just very briefly about the actual goals we're looking at right now during this moment at KUSP? We have a matching gift from Jim and Judy Warner, big fans of the show and of the station. They've offered $1,000, and we would love to be able to meet that matching gift by the end of the show, which is in just 5 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, there's $780 left on that matching gift.
So it's time to act.
That's time to act, yeah. It's picking them out that you want to give and
Jim
give
and Judy,
it.
Jim and Judy have donated a level that actually makes them part of our leadership circle.
Yeah.
And I want you to consider playing a larger role in KUSP, in the support of KUSP. The Leadership Circle is a group of listeners who contribute $500 or more per year to support the station and its programming. Leadership Circle members play a powerful role in helping KUSP serve as one of Monterey Bay Area's most vital source of information and smart entertainment, too.
Yeah, I think we're smart.
They help us do public radio right. So join the Leadership Circle. Just give us a call, 888-777-1507, or go online at kusp.org and use something other than Safari unless you've recently updated Apple.
Yeah, actually, something I didn't cover before was, yes, everyone, please update.
Yes.
Update.
Apple updates are essential right now. That was the summary of that story, by the way.
There we go. A little advice right now.
Especially before you donate. But you can call us. Your phone's secure as far as we know, so give us a call instead.
Yeah, please do. I have to say, you know, as the newest member of the Geek Speak team, I can say I was motivated to be part of the show because it sounded like you guys were having fun together.
Yeah.
Basically, that's why I wanted to join. And in fact, it's been the case. It's been a blast. It's been more fun to do. It's more fun, I think, generally, just to do something together. And that's certainly true for KUSP. This place is made entirely of citizens from the surrounding area, just, to, you know, helpful souls contributing content. And many of us contribute money, too. It really feels like public radio when we all do it together. And right now, we're hoping you'll put the public in public radio by offering a comfortable sum, just something that's comfortable for you, to the station that makes Geek Speak possible. Won't you please?
You know, and welcome to doing Geek Speak, Bonnie. It's been a pleasure to do it with you. And
it's
I got to say,
a lot of fun.
Just to let everyone know, yes, you know, the three of us volunteer for the show. We come in every week. We prepare throughout the week, listening to news stories, take care of the website for Geek Speak. And Miles and I have been doing this for 14 years or so.
Yes. And we donate to KUSP, so it actually costs us money too.
Also donate.
I'm
putting in my check today after. Actually, I probably won't call. I'll probably go in the other room and fill out a form myself. I don't have to make a phone call. But I would make a phone call and use my credit card. So contributing by phone takes 2 to 3 minutes. It's really simple. An online pledge takes little as 2 minutes. And all you have to do is get online or give us a call. And this small investment of your time right now, it'll pay you back time and time again. As you listen to the station, you'll realize that you're helping make KUSP rich and viable.
Yeah. Yeah.
Help us reach our goal for this hour right now. Our goal is $120,000 for the entire campaign.
Yeah.
We are doing well. We need your help to do great.
We just need 780 more, and we've nailed
so
this hour.
Three
so
of
well.
You call in for a $300 donation.
That'll do it.
Give $300, that's 10 bucks a month. Wait, how does that work?
30
bucks a month. Thank you so much. The math is not so good.
360.
Yeah.
300 is a little bit less.
Or whatever you can afford at kusp.org or 888-777-1507.
Oh, $600 left on that match, not 780. It's going fast.
Yeah, and your pledge to KUSP, like Michael from Santa Cruz, is more important than ever. Please donate and help us keep free of commercial and special interest influence.
You do that, and I promise you we'll be here next week, as we are every week. Geek Speak is a registered service mark of David Lawrence. It's used with permission. I'm Lyle Troxell.
I'm Bonnie Jean Primsch.
And I'm Miles Elam.
And we'll talk to you again sometime.
Remember, the phone number,
888-777-1507. 888-777-1507.